Hello and welcome again, everyone. It's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another day, another time to speak from the heart. It always amazes me the things that the Holy Spirit does. That's why I always say he's moving by his spirit. The Holy Spirit is full of action. He's doing his part. He's searching out for all those that will follow him and obey him. And he will start a living work in them, a living work in them. It's very important. The work of God and the move of God is very, very important. It's more important than I'm able to describe, except for by him. But I know of it, and I thank him for it. And those who speak by his influence, those who teach and speak his word in truth, in spirit and in truth. Just like we worship in spirit and in truth, we can teach in spirit and in truth. The more we seek the mind of Christ, the more we operate according to the mind of Christ, the more we yield to the Holy Spirit. The more people operate under the influence of the Pharisees or the influence of Lucifer seeking preeminence, the less they are yield to the Holy Spirit. And I say they because I exclude myself. I speak on purpose. I speak phrases of faith on purpose that I hate the wicked ways of the world. And that I hate what Satan stands for. And I will not do like the enemy. And I will not look down on people and try to build myself up. But I would mightily do the will of God in my life. Saul loved his position more than he loved God. David loved God more than his position. See, when you're anointed to do something, you don't have to prove it. You don't have to seek attention. David's first love remained God. And as long as his first love was God, he did fine. And the enemy was always trying to pull him. See, it's not like you're just going to steadfastly do it God's way and seek God and do things in spirit and in truth. And not be hindered by Satan. Satan's trying to change your mind. All of his temptations is a desperate attempt to try to change your mind and get in your heart and change your heart. He really wants the heart. But God gave us a new heart, a new spirit man. And if we fortify it, he won't be able to, according to 2 Peter 1, verse 10, we won't fall. We won't fall for those things. If we do the things listed in chapter 1 diligently and earnestly, sincerely, we will never fall. It's impossible. And he knows this. He got to get you in his territory. He got to get you to think like him. And that's why he gets away with so much foolishness. Remember, people bear fruit after their kind. That's just the way it is. A thief cannot raise children that don't steal because they learn to be thieves. If the children turn out not to be thieves, it's because they were influenced by somebody greater, even God. And they saw that they didn't want that. You know, they're, along the road of this life, you find people, their parents may be, one of their parents may have been an alcoholic. And now they hate wine. They hate it. When they see a bottle of wine, they want to shoot it with a BB gun. They hate it. They hate all the pain that went with it. And they vowed never to be that way. Well, so it is with anything. But the influence is there. It's a hurdle that they have to jump. And if they do good, it's not their parents' fault. It's somebody else helped them do it. If their parents, we just don't bear fruit that's not after our kind. Whatever we bear is like us. But thanks be to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and our faith is a definer. Our faith is the highest form of sincerity. And the Lord will help us change all the facts on the ground where we are, all the facts within. I always say the first battle you got to win is that of the heart. You got to win the battle within before you can win the battle on the outside. And the easiest battle to win is the one with Satan out in the world. The most challenging battle is the battle within. If you can win, if you can become dedicated to the Lord and steadfast with it, and keep your and stay in sincere faith, and do the, you know, faith without works is dead, faith without love won't work. So if we, in other words, if we just keep our eyes single, fixed on the Lord and what He say, we solve our problems. When challenges come, we just like the proverb said, don't be afraid of sudden fear. You don't have to be afraid of sudden fear just because something went haywire. You're going to solve the problem biblically. And it's easy that way. But the enemy come with you rushing and desperate, and he does something, and he wants you to get all off balance. He wants you he's trying to get that fiery dart to take all your attention. But the word said, you know, but we cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what the enemy is after. If he can distract you from the knowledge of God, he can get your eye to be double instead of single. And then you look, you know, even if you're believing God for something, don't be desperate about it. It's fine to earnestly look for it, but don't act like it can't happen. And when it happens, you get surprised, and you can't let it consume all the thoughts of your day. You know, when people get desperate and they're believing God for something, and it, you know, sometimes people pace the floor thinking about it. You don't have to do that. If He gave you a gift, you got the gift. Go on to something else. Enjoy your time with the Lord as it manifests. It's going to manifest. Corn's going to grow. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You don't have to worry about it. But preacher, it's not like I expect. Most things are not going to be like you expect. Believe that you got it. Do all you can to get it. But enjoy the process of life. Stay with the Lord. Look to Him. And it's going to work out. Anything you want to learn from the Lord, ask Him questions. Don't worry about it. It's not, your life is not going to be diminished before your answer comes. If you need money, the money's coming. Whatever you need, God knows it. And He'll fix everything so you can pay whatever bill you got to pay, do whatever you got to do. And remember, we're eternal. We're everlasting. We're going to live forever. Whatever we need, God's got you. There are many ways to do the same thing. And sometimes people miss their biggest blessings worrying about it. See, worry is a reducer. It destroys the strength you already got. And fear is a driver. It'll drive you right back. It'll drive you to do something that will cripple the effects of what you're believing God for. You don't have to be in fear about anything. So when you kill the fear, perfect love casts out that fear. When your eyes are on the Lord and you're believing the Lord for something, and it may be something you really need, it may be something that will really put your life over to the good. Know that you got it because the Word said it. And if you got God's Word on it, you got it. Remember, you got to have faith in your heart and no doubt. Faith in your heart and no doubt in your heart. Now, in your mind, you might have some doubt. Just like the people that prayed Peter out of jail. They didn't believe he was outside. Somebody believed that he was free. They were praying. They were earnestly there praying for him, and the angel brought him out, led him out, and the gates even opened by themselves. They had much faith and no doubt in their heart, but they had a lot of doubt in their mind. And I say that because if they had any doubt in their heart, Peter would have stayed in jail. He honored the faith of his people, or at least one person. Somebody did it right, or they all did it right, or half of them did it right. They believed God in their heart with no doubt, and it was legal for God to keep his word. If somebody had faith in their heart and some doubt in their heart, it would have been illegal for God to move like that. Once it was legal, God got his man out of jail. It was not a sovereign act. And he came to where they were praying. That lets you know that God honored their faith. He could have went somewhere else. He went to where the people were praying. He was led to go where the people were praying. You can read the account in Acts. And I thank God for these things. Sometimes, you know, the challenges of doubt can operate in your mind, but know in your heart that it can't be that way. And the word of God, the only way I know to do that is to receive a lot of God's word in your heart, and it will kill doubt. And you have to speak it. I will not doubt my God. I have what the word say, not what the world say. I govern my life by the word, not the world. I love the word of God, and I hate the ways of this world. I refuse to doubt. I refuse to honor Satan with doubt. You can even say I'm not afraid of his works. You don't have to fear anything. You can take what's yours and walk in it. God loves you. I love you too. Now, but when you believe in God for anything, never take your eyes off the Lord. Keep walking on the water. Peter began to sink when he stopped looking at the Lord. Keep walking on the water. Keep your eyes single. And looking under Jesus don't mean literally. It doesn't mean physically. It means that's his word is on your top shelf. His word is the frontlets of your eyes. Your eyelid. His words is what you consider. You're enjoying a relationship with the Lord. You're walking with him, talking with him, communing with him, believing God for whatever you want. But your focus is always on him and what he has to say. See, that kind of faith will keep you in perfect peace. See, you know, perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. Just because you're challenged with something, and just because you lost a battle somewhere, and you done something you wish you didn't, or you signed something that now you hate it, and now it's going to cause you pain in your life, start looking to the Lord, believe in God to get the problem solved, to get back where you were and beyond. It works. In ministry, that's the only way to do it, because we don't have the marbles. We don't have the smarts to do a perfect ministry. The works of the Holy Spirit must be revealed to us. If he's telling you to do something and you're doing it, just like he say do it, with your might, with your wisdom, your wit, you're doing what you're obeying God. Every time you obey the Lord, that's a step in the right direction, and you're doing something that's going to matter. You become part of a greater work. It's just one work, one move of the Holy Spirit, but many members. It works by people of faith who speak and act on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Whether it's an instruction for you to grow, to read certain scriptures, to do certain things, go to certain schools, whatever God got you doing, that's your road. Stay on that road. Do what God say. Be obedient to him. Enjoy the process, though. Don't do it the word said, do nothing out of vainglory. Do what you do because it honors God. Enjoy his presence. Enjoy what he's saying. Enjoy what he's doing. Enjoy the process of life. And you'll learn a whole lot more from the Holy Spirit. Love his people. When you love his people, he'll show you the truth about them. And you'll know who to trust, who not to trust. God loves everybody. You should love everybody. If you love everybody, then when the Lord tell you the truth about people, you can understand it. Some things the Lord's going to tell you, it can be disappointing because he'll show you the negative side that you need to know about. And you'll know whether to trust them or not. You'll know how far to go in your trust for them. But you don't stop loving them. And you use the knowledge faithfully. You use the knowledge faithfully. You have to be faithful with the Lord. If you can do that, you can do anything. But the move of God is not a struggling move. It's a fact-changing move. It's a fact-changing move. It's not a struggling, barely getting along move. The actions of the Holy Spirit is mighty. You do what he give you to do, you become mighty. You change the facts where you are. People see you. You change the kind of person you are. And as you walk in the light, you represent God more. And people who receive from you, they get a vision of what God is through you. They get a vision of what God is like by looking at you. And when they see you solve your problems that way, it's just like children. Children learn by vision. They learn from their parents by vision. They see what their parents do and they do it. My daughter Shayna, she never crawled. She didn't see people crawling, so she didn't try to crawl. She tried to walk. And every day when I would keep her on Mondays, I would be off on Mondays and I would keep her. She would come and get me to hold her up by the shoulders. I put my hands under her armpits and pick her up, and she'd kick her legs. She did that till she could walk. She never crawled. She didn't see anybody else crawling, so she didn't ever try to crawl. She'd come and get me, you know, she'd want me to come and get her so she could kick her legs. She'd do that for hours. I said, "Girl, I'm tired." And she did, and she learned to walk quick, but she didn't crawl. She'd kick her legs. But she didn't see anybody crawling around. She saw people walking. They see you do something, and they try to do it. And I thank the Lord for that, you know. So people are no different. They learn God through vision. What are they seeing others do? When people come to a church, whatever the people are doing, that's how they govern themselves, good and bad. If people feel the liberty to talk about others, then they do too. That's why God gave us priests, so we'll have a fail-safe, so he can work with us. So we can say, "Lord, please forgive them. They don't know everything. You know, they're just getting started." Because, see, we have to remind the Lord to do that, because God and sin don't mix. He's not very reasonable when it comes to sin. He needs a priest to pray for people and intercede for them. Because God is not as reasonable as people think they are with sin. If they knew how unreasonable God was about sin, they'll stop sinning. They'll start fearing God again, and they'll quit sinning. Jesus is the high priest. He reminds God that we were washed in the blood, and we don't know everything. And if we get in a trap, don't just, you know, keep them in the kingdom. And then we're priests. We represent people to God, and we represent people's cases to the Lord. Lord, help them to get out of that. We go to, you know, "Lord, help me to say the right thing to get them out of this sin. Help me say it the right way at the strategic time so that they'll turn their back on sin." And then we have to preach. See, so many people are compromised. So many churches have, you know, Jonathan Cahn said, you know, he just told the truth. He said, The gray area is diminishing. People either going all light or all dark. And people who side with the darkness, they gotten worse. And the churches that have a mind to compromise, they've gone dark. Now, the Word of God said that there would be people who, I just read it a few broadcasts ago. They wouldn't endure sound doctrine, and they'll find preachers that preach what they want to hear. And some whole churches have compromised. They're just off the chain. They way out in the world, and they'll probably never come back. See, the Lord's about to come. A lot of people have fallen away. They still go to church, but they preach a dead doctrine, and they act on that, and they've forgotten about what God said. They twist the scriptures, just like Satan tried to twist the scriptures on Jesus. Compromised preachers have twisted the scriptures on the people, and the people twist the scriptures. And a lot of people have fallen away. And you tell them the truth, they think you're crazy. They won't change. They made a choice. They made God in their own image. And they serve God by their own standards. Just like the enemy set traps in the Old Testament. Isaiah read about it. Jeremiah taught about it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel taught about apostasy, how people have changed their turned their heart. The Lord picked up Ezekiel by his hair and showed him a vision in the temple. He said, "You see what they do in the dark?" And it was all these ungodly images, and they were worshiping idols, facing the east, worshiping idols, all kind of sexual immorality. Right there, the priests were doing this, and this is for our warning. See, some people think, well, all the Old Testament, that's been done away with. No, the ceremonial law was fulfilled. In fact, the law is fulfilled in us, just like we covered in the last broadcast. But the moral law and the things about, there are so many New Testament era scriptures. There were many scriptures in the Old Testament written about today, the time we live in. And some of them are in the future. And they were written way back then, because God wrote the future. He wrote about the future before it happened. And he wrote many things by the prophets for our example. So you got to pay more attention to the Old Testament and what Jesus actually said, and stop letting people put a twist on the Word of God. When you change your focus, you change. You become what you're focused on. Your future is going to be whatever you're focused on. So if your focus is on the Lord, you're going to change with Him. You're going to grow from glory to glory. If your focus is a distraction, your life will be like that distraction, full of fear and worry and animosity, whatever it is. You'll believe that you can't have what God gave you. And you'll get mad at Him because you're looking at it wrong. The Word of God will correct you, help you look at it correctly. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. If we can understand the Lord, just like in 2 Peter 3, it teaches us to be patient, because we see the Lord is working other people into the kingdom. And His return is not immediate, because He's trying to work others in the kingdom, just like He worked you in the kingdom. He's doing a mighty work to bring others in. That's our blessing, because let's say He came today and there were cousins and friends and people that are not ready yet. It's just like taking a cake out of the oven and it's not finished cooking. Let's say the Lord came back prematurely. A lot of our people are not going to make it. We're going to get to live forever with that memory. What if we just had another year or two? Be thankful for every day God gives, because the time is running short. He told me the day is set. The day is set. He will come back whatever that day is. It's set. He will be back by that date. He told me that about a year or two ago. And I said, whoa. I think it was 2015 when he told me that. And I told my son, and his eyes got big. He told me about a youth pastor that was laying on the couch praying for a message. And the Lord told him the same thing, that the day was set. Now, that's two people. He said that the rapture, the day of the rapture is set. I don't know when it is. He ain't going to tell us. He just going to come back. So don't worry. Nobody can tell you that date, but I just know it's close. It's very close. And I want to utilize every, you know, I'm getting surprised every time I wake up. Well, we got another day. God, you know, that's how close I believe it is. So we need to do whatever God is saying to do. The Lord loves us. And his mercy, his chesed, you know, Brother Horton explained that word. That means more than just mercy. His kindness, his goodness, his generosity, the blessings of God endures forever. His kindness towards us, the love, the active love that he has towards us endures forever. And that word is chesed. But God, he's coming back soon. Now, last time we were in Romans chapter 8. And he had me showing, you know, us how, he had me reading about how life in the spirit. Life in the spirit, life guided by the spirit is different than a man living on his own. He didn't leave us here to live on our own. We need to utilize the great wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. I'll start there because we got to verse 18 last time. I think it was 18. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." So you don't have to live your life in any form of fear. You can destroy fear by your perfect love. By looking unto the Lord, it'll solve all those fear problems. "But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." If you're joint heirs with Christ, and you start doing it God's way, and you're looking to the Lord, the enemy will see you as a threat. He'll dispatch demons to come and aggravate your life, take away things you desire, hinder you, give you bad information against God. Give you bad information against God. He's trying to get you back on off track and into his way of thinking. So that's where the suffering comes from. Now the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom to counter it. I've had many times that was an attack form, and then the Lord showed me how to counter it. And sometimes he gave me references talking about things that were happening, people that were wasting my time, hindering me. I didn't know who it was. But he'll talk about it. And then I would start speaking that I follow him in that area. So that when he give me wisdom, I'll act on it. Don't always trust yourself to act on what God give you. Because sometimes it takes a lot of courage and bravery. And you may not feel that way when he exposed what's going on or when the situations happen. You might not have enough courage to act in faith. So to deal with that problem, I always speak that I will follow God, that I will do what he give me to do with boldness. Paul, that's why Paul said, "Pray that I'm bold." Sometimes the Lord would give him things to do, but he didn't. It was a challenge to him. So he prayed for boldness. In order for the anointing to do its job, you have to do your job. You have to do the speaking for the anointing to do its work. See, when you look at me, you just see me. You don't see the great power of the anointing around me. It's just like a man driving heavy equipment. What if you could see him and you couldn't see the heavy equipment that he's operating? And you just see stuff moving. Well, it's not that simple. You can't see what God is doing in the hearts of people. But you see a man talking. But what follows that is the word gets in their heart and they become powerful. Yokes are being broke. You can't even see the yokes being broke. You can't see the change. People are receiving information, and it's like the spider web that they're wrapped up in has been cut. And then they're given information so that they can live a normal life, so that they can live a life of God. You can't see all that, but you have to speak the word at the right time and stay within the strategy of the Holy Spirit. And not deviate, not preach another word. The anointing is on what God gives. And when you do it on time, in time, at the perfect time, it works. The audience is there to receive. You're there to speak. You speak the word. Their yokes are broken. Nobody can tell. But the next thing you know, they start working. They start getting saved. They start being a blessing. And they start going forward in life. And they stopped doing the things that made people laugh at them. The preacher going out of town again, but they're living. Now we're out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to do the mighty works in you. Always believe what God can do in you. Expect it, because he's mighty. He's there with you so that you can be mighty in him. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our